Morning. My name is Benjamin. If I haven't met you yet, I'm one of the pastors here at Sunbury City Church. So we've been working our way through the first chapter and a half of the Gospel of Luke during Advent, leading up to Christmas. So that's where we'll be this morning. I'd encourage you to open up your Bible, if you have one, to the text that I'll read for us. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can find one on a seat back near you, probably. We'll be on page 805 of those seat back Bibles. And if you're able to, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Luke 2, 1 to 20. This is God's perfect and powerful word. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. You can take your seat. Let's just go to the Lord one more time. So, Father, we pray, not unto us, but to your name be glory for the sake of your steadfast love and faithfulness. Lift your son Jesus high this morning through the preaching of your word. May we join with the angels who sang 2,000 years ago, "Glory to God in the highest." May we join with the shepherds who saw the angels report and praised and glorified God. Give us eyes to see Jesus, we pray, in his name, amen. Well, if you listen to Christmas music on the radio, it's hard to avoid, even if you wanted to, wherever you go, you're hearing Christmas music. You've probably heard these words sung sometime over the last few weeks or months. Something like, "No more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts. And everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list." And Maybe you've heard the song, maybe you haven't, but this was a song called Grown Up Christmas List. It's penned by Linda Thompson Jenner in 1989. And when you hear the words to that song, you hear longing, right? Longing for good and right things, for hurts to be healed, for loneliness to be done away with, for wrongs to be made right. And in this way, it actually reflects some of the feelings of Advent, feelings of longing, feelings of light to pierce the darkness. Advent is a time of hoping, a time of longing, as well as a time of gladness and joyful celebration. We here joyfully remember and declare that Jesus, the light of the world, the Son of God, has come and broken into the darkness. But the darkness has not been eliminated yet. Darkness remains in the world. So we also long. We long, we eagerly wait, we eagerly expect for the return of Christ. When he will set everything right, all darkness will be vanquished. So we long, we wait, we also celebrate with joy. And this is where that song falls woefully short. It's essentially a secularized Advent song. It's a song that has kind of retains good ideas, but it's completely stripped of anything of God. Sorry if it's your favorite song. But it captures the feeling of longing for goodness and justice. But it's disconnected from any reason we have to hope. As Christians, we do long. We long for a day when every wrong will be made right. We long for a day when every tear will be wiped away. But we have a confident, steadfast anchor to our hope. We know that everything will be fulfilled. All our hopes, all our dreams. We have confident assurance that it will happen. So during Advent, we proclaim, we have good news of great joy, as the angels say, saying, Christ has come. And Christ will come again. So our text tells us about this good news of great joy. It takes us to the city of Bethlehem, which is a small city. It still exists today. You can go visit it. But our text takes us back 2,000 years to an event that happened in that city of Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary, who, though a virgin, was nearing the end of her miraculous pregnancy. They just arrived in Bethlehem from the town of Nazareth. They needed to be in Bethlehem because 700 years ago, before they arrived in Bethlehem, God said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem through his prophet Micah. Now, it's not clear whether Joseph and Mary knew that that's why they needed to go to Bethlehem. Luke tells us that they went there because Caesar Augustus ordered a census, which meant everyone needed to return to their hometown. And Luke is showing us, ultimately, humans, the most powerful rulers in the world, the emperor of the Roman Empire, are not ultimately in charge. God rules in the affairs of men. He ordained that a census would be ordered so that Joseph and Mary would end up in Bethlehem for the birth of the Messiah, just as he said it would be. Well, also, on the outskirts of Bethlehem, there are shepherds watching over their flock at night, just as they did every night. But this night, the most extraordinary thing in the universe would happen. Luke tells us that an angel suddenly appears, surrounded by supernatural light. He has an announcement for the shepherds. He tells these completely terrified shepherds, fear not, good news, great joy, a Savior, Christ the Lord is born today. Born where? Where do they say? In a palace? A Savior of the world? Surely that's where he'd be born. Maybe even just a comfortable home with a crib. Now he's born lying in a manger, a feeding trough. The Savior of the world, born and lying in a feeding trough. Well, this message from the single angel leads us to the pinnacle of our text. This news that this angel brought was so good that it required an army of angels to come and sing about it. So in response to this news, an army of angels shows up. Hundreds or thousands all suddenly appear. They joyfully sing what this baby, Christ the Lord, the Savior, would accomplish. They sing, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." So this morning, I want us to consider this world-changing, this history-defining message from the army of angels to the shepherds that night. Glory to God, peace, peace on earth. So if you look around the world right now, you probably wouldn't say peace. This is what I see when I look at the world right now. That's not really what you'd use to describe the world, right? And these angels shouted this, sang this 2,000 years ago. This is what Jesus did. This is what happened. Peace on earth. Shouldn't we be seeing the peace somewhere? What is this peace on earth that the angels are singing about? So that's what I want to walk us through. Four questions for us to think about. What is this peace? What kind of peace is it? Is it some sort of inner peace, some meditative peace that we get by just being quiet? Is it some kind of geopolitical peace between nations, world peace, or all the nations of the world, or something else? What kind of peace is this? Number two, how does this peace come? How do we get it? Sounds really good. The angels are singing about it. How do we get it? And three, who is this peace for? And lastly, what does this peace do? So first question, what is this peace? What kind of peace is it? Usually we think of peace in the context of conflict or hostility, right? So if you have hostile countries at war, they sign what? A peace treaty to bring an end to their hostilities. Or if there's conflict in relationships with friends or family and there's fighting, but then the individuals are able to reconcile, we say peace has been restored, right? So 2,000 years ago, in a field outside Bethlehem, this army of angels singing peace on earth, catch those exact words, peace on earth. They don't say peace in Bethlehem, peace in some specific place. They say peace on earth. That is, they're saying global peace. They're proclaiming global peace. It's not just a local peace arrangement, which the Jewish people were probably hoping for under the Roman oppression, but they're proclaiming, these angels are proclaiming peace, reconciliation, restoration to every single person on earth. If you are on earth, the angel's message is for you. But the fact that they proclaim it to every single person on earth means that there is some fundamental conflict that every single person on earth is experiencing. And the Bible tells us what that conflict is. Every single human is in conflict with God, all of us, because of our sin. This conflict began with Adam and Eve. They were created perfectly in God, perfectly by God, perfectly to reflect Him, His love and goodness out into creation, placed in a perfect place, Eden, enjoying perfect relationship with Him. And they willingly chose to rebel against God and disobey. Perfect peace was shattered, broken, relationship smashed by sin. And ever since that day, humanity has continued in that rebellion, this hostility towards God, turning our backs on God, going our own way. Our sin separates us from God. The Bible talks about this hostility in various ways, our hostility in our relationship with God. Colossians 1 refers it to being alienated from God. That means our relationship with God has been broken. It's been cut off. There's separation. It's like there's a wall between us and God that we can't get through. In Romans 5, Paul says that we're enemies of God. This consider for a minute being an enemy of the all-powerful creator of the universe. That's terrifying, right? In Ephesians, this is referred to as being children of wrath, or children deserving the wrath of God. And this is why the angel's message is such good news of great joy. This is why they're singing. They're announcing an offer of peace, of reconciliation to every single person on earth. Peace on earth, no more alienation. The wall between you and God, broken down. Access to God, restoration of the relationship. No more being an enemy of God. Instead of being an enemy, being transformed into a friend of God. Do you desire peace with God? Do you feel that alienation, that separation, like there's a wall between you and God? Does guilt, does shame from your sin gnaw at you, condemning you? If so, I have good news of great joy for you. A way of being reconciled completely forever to God, at peace with God, in close relationship with God, the way we were made to be. Which brings us to our second question. How? How does this peace come? What is the means by which this peace arrives? How is this rebellion in our hearts against God going to be dealt with? How is this wall going to be removed? Well, let's look at what the angel says in his birth announcement. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." It's packed full of terms for this baby. So the angel is telling us the reason we can have peace, how are we going to get peace? The reason we can have peace is because a Savior has come. A Savior that is Christ, the Lord. How do we get peace with God? Well, we need a Savior. That is, we need someone external to us. That means we can never achieve this peace on our own through some sort of individual, inward-focused self-improvement project. As if you sort of work on yourself hard enough, you try to be more forgiving, try to be more grateful, try to be more generous, try to help others, try to do the right thing. Somehow, if we do that enough, we'll somehow get peace from all of that. And of course, those things are all good things to do. But all of those things will never reconcile us to God. We are helpless to find true peace on our own. We need someone else. And the angel sung about him. The angel tells us that this person is a Savior, or a rescuer, you could call him, a deliverer. To save from what? To rescue from what? You can turn over to Matthew 1. An angel talking to Joseph gives us a little more specific details. Here's the angel telling Joseph what their baby's name would be. He says, "You shall call his name Jesus." Why? "For he will save his people." That is, he'll be a Savior. "You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Our sin is what causes the separation. Our sin is what needs to be dealt with to restore our peace, our closeness with God. And ultimately, Jesus accomplishes this on the cross, where he dies for the sins of everyone who places their trust in him. Do you need to be rescued? Do you need to be saved from your sins? I have good news of great joy for you. A Savior is born to you, unto you, to save you from your sins, to reconcile you, to be a friend of God. The angel gives us two important details about this Savior. He's a Savior who is Christ. Christ is just the Greek word for the Old Testament word Messiah, just means anointed one. So when you see Christ, you can just think Messiah. The Messiah throughout the whole Old Testament was the great and future promised king. It was the one that everyone continually waited for, hoped for. The angel is saying, he's here. He's arrived. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything you've been waiting for, everything you have been hoping for. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. And he is the Lord, which is probably the most amazing identifier the angel gives Jesus here. The baby's not just the long-promised bringer of salvation. He's not just a great king that we've been waiting for. He's not just the one who would bring reconciliation with God, but he is God. That's what Luke's saying. Christ the Lord. He's emphasizing that Jesus is not just a messenger of God, a great prophet, a great teacher, but he is God himself. Just our mind stretches to even conceive of that fact. The eternal, forever existing, Jesus was eternal, forever existing, no beginning, no end, all powerful, creator of the universe, taking on flesh to be born into the creation he made. Why? To save his people who were in rebellion against him. Who could imagine so great a mercy? So how does the angel's declaration of peace on earth come to us? By God himself entering his own creation as a baby to save his people. So that naturally brings us to our next question. Who is this for? We talked about what kind of peace it is, how it comes. So who is it for? Look again at verse 10. The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Listen to this. That will be for all the people. You hear that? Wonderful news. This news of the birth of the Messiah is not just for these shepherds in the field. It's not just good news for the Jews of the time. Their Messiah had arrived. It was good news for the Romans too. And it's good news for you too, if you would receive it. For all the people is what the angel says. All the people includes everyone. Verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day a Savior." Unto you. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. A Savior born to you, unto you. It's not to a specific group, the rich, the powerful, the influential, the upper class. Think of who the angel announced this to. The businessmen, the dignitaries, the government officials. No, he announced it to the common, working class people, the shepherds, the plumbers, the mechanics, the house cleaners, the waitresses. This announcement is for all people, not just for particularly good people who seem to have everything together. That's for messy people whose lives are chaotic and full of sin. This good news of great joy is to you. It's to all people. But we have to continue because we hear a sobering note at the end of this message of the angels. Verse 10, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Which means, although this offer is universally proclaimed to everyone on earth, not everyone will receive the offer to be reconciled to God, to have peace with God. God holds out the gift to everyone, but you have to accept it. How do you accept it? How do I do that? I want to accept it. You believe. That's what the Bible tells us to do. You believe, you trust. There's no work involved here. You believe this offer is for you. You believe that Jesus is born as your Savior. You place your trust in Jesus to save you from your sins. And that's it. God brings you into peace with himself. They say, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Receiving the gift of Jesus from God is what pleases God. If you're here today and you're not at peace with God, but you want to be, believe this message. Receive it. The gift is out for you. If you're wondering what it looks like, what does that mean? I'd love to talk to you. Any Christian would love to talk to you. Talk to the Christian you're sitting next to. Christians love talking to people about this peace they have with God. If you have come to faith in Christ, you've placed your trust in him, believing that he has died for your sins. The penalty for your sins has been paid. It means that you are reconciled to God. Your sins completely forgiven. Past, present, future, all gone. Forgiven by the blood of Christ. That's you. That means you are reconciled, at peace, God's friend. No wall between them. Sometimes we feel like God's angry with me and there's this separation and I have to do some good deeds, some good works to get back on God's side to somehow jump over this wall. No. If you've received the gift, you are at peace with God now. No working to get back on God's good side. This is peace based on what Jesus has done, and it's done forever, and it can't be affected by anything you do, which means God is for you, 100% for you. Everything he does is for your good, for his glory. You're at peace with the creator of the universe. Just sit and enjoy that for a minute. All the promises of God are yes and amen to you. This is my favorite one. This is from Isaiah. God says, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That is a promise I cling to probably almost every day. And we know that promise is to you if you've received Jesus. All right, last question is, what does this peace do? The angel tells us the answer. The army of angels say, glory to God in the highest. What is the ultimate result of this peace? Ultimately, the end, the aim, which is the aim of the universe, the ultimate result of this peace is the glory of God. God gets glory when his people get peace with him. We get peace with him. He gets the praise. God gets glory when we believe and receive who he is, who Jesus is. Isn't that a really good deal? God, the only one worthy of all glory, all praise, all worship, all adoration, gets the glory he deserves when his people receive the gift that they don't deserve. That's astounding. God gets glory when his people receive the gift he offers them. Reconciliation through Jesus, peace with God forever. God is glorified when he rescues his people from their sin-bent, hard-hearted, unpeaceful state of turmoil. And he does this by Jesus' death, his own son's death on the cross. And when this vertical relationship is restored with God, when it's repaired, the other thing this peace does is it starts overflowing into all the areas of our life. When we're separated from God, when we're hostile towards God, when there's a wall between us and God, everything else in life starts to break down. We're filled with internal turmoil, anxiety. So we attempt to fill ourselves, satisfy ourselves, meet our longings with things that will never satisfy. The better job, the better car, the better relationship. relationship, the project, 1,000 other things we chase after. None of those things will ultimately satisfy. And as we chase after them, we have anxious turmoil in our hearts. And we don't just lose internal peace in our hearts. Our peace with others around us breaks down as we selfishly try to use other people to get what we want. But when we're reconciled to God, when we have peace with God, when God repairs that relationship, everything changes, because he doesn't just forgive your sin. He regenerates your heart and gives you properly ordered affections such that your heart desires him above all else. And when that's at the top, everything else is ordered correctly. He replaces that striving in our hearts with peace and satisfaction. We have Jesus. What else do we need? We rest in his goodness. If you're a Christian and you feel that temptation to strive, to be anxious, to be chasing after things, lean into the thing you already have, peace with God. Peace in our hearts then overflows into the relationships around us. Christians are peace makers, pursuing peace, not peace breakers. God wants to give us this peace. This is what he created the world for. Peace in our hearts, peace with him, peace with others. It all starts with peace with him. You will never know true, real, lasting peace unless you first have peace with God. And that peace with God changes everything. And that's why we have good news. Greatest news in the universe. Good news of great joy. And this is why the angels sang, "Glory, glory to God in the highest." God has rescued his people. He's brought them back to himself. He's repaired the relationship through the giving of his own son, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we echo the angel's song, "Glory to God in the highest, for what you have offered to us." Father, in this Christmas season where busyness abounds, stress and anxiety often comes along with it, hard relationships come along with it, but you sent your son to give us peace with you. I pray that we would hold tightly to that message of the angels. We have peace with you, the creator of the universe. May we be people of peace, peacemakers, peace sharers during this season, even when everything else is so hard and busy and complicated. Father, give our hearts the rest we already have in you. We ask this in Jesus' name.